My love has come along. My lonely days are over, and life is like a song. At last.
All right, good evening, everyone. I think we're going to get started. So with that, I just want to welcome everyone to our town hall event. I'm Jennifer Lucchesi. I'm the executive officer of the California State Lands Commission. I am joined by my colleagues here up on the dais. Seth Blackman is our chief counsel. Peter Reagan is our assistant chief of our Minerals Resources Management Division, who is overseeing the decommissioning of Platform Holly and Piers 421. In the audience, we also have a number of staff: Sherry Pemberton, Michael Wells, Maren Farnham, Joe Fable, and then it looks like Matthew Kohler is also walking in right now, too. Welcome, Matthew. So without further ado, I'd love to welcome Mayor Pro Tem Richards up to the podium.
Hello? Okay, thank you. Well, I'm actually here to welcome you, so it's a welcome fest. So hello, everyone. I'm Kyle Richards. I'm the city council member for the city of Goleta, and I serve as the mayor pro tem. I'd also like to acknowledge my colleague, James Kiriako, a fellow city council member who's also here today, and staff. So for nearly a century, our region has dealt with oil and gas extraction, including environmental disasters from spills and leaks, onshore and offshore, along with sensitive marine coastline. The City of Goleta staff and officials have been working diligently alongside the State Lands Commission and staff for more than a decade to remove old oil infrastructure, some dating back to the 1930s, from our coastline. More recently, the Goleta State Partnership served to facilitate the successful plugging, abandonment, and removal of Piers 421 caissons, wells, and piers. The well plugging eliminated oil spill risks along Haskell's Beach and beyond. Our beaches are safe from the hazards these structures posed to our public and the environment. We are now working together on the status of the Elwood Onshore and Gas Processing Facility, the EOF, as the state hands the keys over to the Venico trustee with the goal of full decommissioning, removal, and restoration of the site, consistent with the vision set forth in the city's general plan. We're also focusing efforts to assist the state with the decommissioning of Platform Holly, and we will learn more about that in the presentation this evening. Restoring our coastline to pre-oil era conditions is a monumental effort, obviously, so we welcome again the state lands staff and the commission led by Jennifer Lucchesi, the chief executive officer, and her staff. And I'd like to welcome them and the public to this meeting. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Mayor Pro Tem Richards. So again, I just want to thank you all for joining us tonight. We've been here since Sunday. We had a celebration of the removal of Piers 421 on Monday morning. We hosted our State Lands Commission meeting here on Monday afternoon. We were able to host the Lieutenant Governor out to Platform Holly yesterday, and now we're here with you all tonight. It's been a great week. Nothing like spending a week in Santa Barbara and Goleta in June. So thank you for welcoming us all week. So tonight, just some housekeeping things. We do have speaker slips if you'd like to make any comments or ask us questions. That's just to help us keep track in case we want to follow up with you. If we can't answer your questions comprehensively tonight, we'll follow up with you with the relevant information. But other than that, it's a pretty informal town hall. We are here to give you a status update on our activities relating to Platform Holly and the Elwood Onshore facility. But more importantly, we're here to answer your questions. So please don't be shy about asking questions. And like I said, if we can't answer them tonight, we'll certainly follow up with you with responses later. So tonight we will be giving you a status update on the decommissioning of Platform Holly, the status of the Elwood Onshore facility, Piers 421 removal project, and also we are going to expand the scope a little bit and just give a quick update on our work at Summerlin Beach to address the legacy wells, particularly because there was an incident that prompted a formal response by OSPR and the U.S. Coast Guard in January of this year. So we just want to give a quick update on that. So with that, I'm actually going to turn it over to Peter Reagan, who will be working through the PowerPoint presentation and giving the status update. Peter?
All right. So thanks, everybody, for coming. And as Jennifer said, we're going to be giving a quick presentation on pretty much all of the oil and gas decommissioning projects that the state's involved in the area. The main one, of course, being Platform Holly. So I'm sure everybody's reasonably aware of the recent history. We took over the lease back in 2017 after the Venoco quitclaim. We started plugging and abandoning wells in 2019 along with ExxonMobil. We had a fairly lengthy hiccup with the COVID-19 shutdown where we couldn't do any work. We reactivated that on 2021, and the well plugging was completed late last year with the surface plugs being set on all 30 wells, which is basically the wells are plugged from the producing intervals to about 50 to 150 feet below the seabed, as per the CalJAM regulations. So on the actual platform, all the process plant has been flushed and cleaned of residual hydrocarbons, so there's no more oil in any of the tanks or any of the separators or anything like that out there. The pipelines, the oil and gas pipeline from the platform back to the EOF have been flushed, cleaned, purged with air, and they are now disconnected. And we're now in the process of what we'd term hardening work, which is to put the platform in a state that we can leave it pretty much unmanned for the next couple of years and decouple it from the EOF and from all the shore-based utilities and de-staff the platform to leave it unmanned, where we'll be going out every month or so to do a routine inspection to make sure that we haven't missed anything and that everything's still integrity, to make sure the platform integrity is still looking good. There's not anything that's getting unsafe, likely to cause an issue if we did have to go back out there for any reason. So as usual, we are continuing to staff the platform at the minute to monitor the security, monitor the wells, keep the facility in good shape until the decommissioning is complete. We have started our environmental research CEQA work to develop the EIR and analyze decommissioning and removal options. We've got a bunch of surveys and other such studies coming up, like dive work, ROV surveys, bathymetric surveys of the seabed, and those types of things to support the EIR. So we retained a team, including Padre Associates, UCSB, and Blue Latitudes. Over the next 12 months, we'll be putting together studies and doing a data gap analysis. We have a bunch of public engagement meetings planned throughout the process where we'll be announcing on the website that we'll have a public meeting similar to this one. And you'll be invited to come and check on the status of the EIR. Our notice of preparation is likely by the end of this year, and we're hoping to have the EIR completed mid-2025. So moving on to the EOF, the process equipment at the EOF that we use to process the H2S coming from the platform has been flushed and cleaned. We flushed, cleaned, and emptied numerous vessels, pipelines, interconnecting pipes, etc., in coordination with the city and the fire department, etc. And we have, we will be handing that back to the Venoco trustee at the end of this week. So, future work. The conductor removal is planned to commence fairly shortly and should take us through to the end of the year, which is the work to actually remove any remaining pipe that connects the seabed to the platform. So then there'll be nothing connecting the platform to any of the wells after that. Then we'll start removing redundant equipment off the platform just to make sure there's nothing out there that we couldn't get rid of now. Then the platform will basically be shut down until the CEQA analysis is complete. Like I said, we'll be doing routine inspections and any repairs that we need to make for storm damage or anything like that that we didn't expect. And we're expecting final decommissioning and removal somewhere between 3 to 4 years in the future. So moving on to the 421 project, which I assume quite a lot of you are already familiar with because I recognize some faces from Monday. We'd removed the two piers, caissons, and wells from the 421 lease. That was completed back in February this year, and the beach is now back to its natural condition. You get a great view from the Bacara if you can afford it. And like I said, planning has been in planning since 2019 when we started the well abandonments. The removal work started in 2022 after we did some environmental study. The piers and caissons were removed over a period of months after we had done our wildlife monitoring, mitigation to make sure we're not in nesting season, and we check for bats and roosts and things like that. The project was completed on time, no injuries or any spills, and like it says there, thanks to ExxonMobil and Beacon West for a successful project with no problems. And the last project that we have in the immediate vicinity is the Elwood Marine Terminal decommissioning. So the EMT was used for exporting oil from Hawley in the EOF around 1920 until 2012 when it was replaced with a pipeline. So the oil went to the EMT and then a pipeline out to an offshore loading facility. So that was obviously part of the Venico bankruptcy. It was slated for decommissioning in 2017, and UCSB has recently released an MND for the CEQA process that analyzes the removal of everything, all the tanks, et cetera, onshore and the offshore loading line. So Exxon is undertaking the onshore removal, and we'll be taking some responsibility for the offshore loading line and removing that. And last but not least, Summerlin Beach. So I'm sure everybody is aware that the area of Summerlin used to be riddled with oil wells back in the early 1800s. A lot of these were abandoned before any regulatory agencies existed. So there was little or no oversight. There's no records. And quite a lot of those wells have some fairly sketchy abandonments. So the Legacy Wells Program was created to address a lot of these leaky wells, and we've re-abandoned five of them so far between 2018 and 22, which were the five most prolific leakers. We have two more planned for this year that should be starting late August, and they were along the old Treadwell Pier, Treadwell 5 and 1, which are about, what does he says here, 400, 500 feet offshore. So you can't actually see them leaking at the minute, but we did a lot of dive surveys around the old pier locations, and those were two that were seen to be leaking more than anything we were expecting. So they're up next for decommissioning, and as they're offshore, they'll be done fairly similar to all the previous ones. We're driving a large pipe over the top of them into the blue clay that's a couple of hundred feet under the well head and filling that pipe with cement to entomb it all. And that will stop any leakage from those two wells, and then we'll continue monitoring the area for any further wells that start becoming a problem. And with that, that's it.
Thank you, Peter. Just a couple of highlights from the presentation. In terms of the Elwood Onshore facility, we do have copies of a letter that the City of Goleta sent to the Venico trustee, along with all the letters that the various regulatory agencies prepared in support of that letter from the City of Goleta. And we have copies over there if anybody's interested in understanding kind of the current status of that handoff. And then also with the SB 44 Summerlin Legacy Well Program, we received in the 2018 California state budget up to $2 million a year to address legacy wells offshore Summerlin Beach. That expires, it sunsets fiscal year 26-27. So we will be looking for other sources of funding as that comes to an end. So with that, we do have so far two public speaker slips, but please don't be shy if you have questions. So the first one, Linda Kropp.
Good evening. Welcome back to Goleta. I'm Linda Kropp, Chief Counsel with the Environmental Defense Center. And first of all, I'd like to thank the State Lands Commission for once again coming here to our town to talk about these important issues. There's a lot of community interest, and you have been so gracious about appearing on a regular basis and providing information, answering questions, getting back to people. If you can't answer questions on the spot, you maintain a wonderful website. So for everyone in the audience and who's watching online, I highly recommend checking out the State Lands Commission website. They keep it up to date. So after tonight, you can find out what's transpiring with all of these projects. So thank you for your transparency and for keeping the public informed and engaged. We look forward to the notice of preparation. Happy to launch into the environmental review process for Platform Holly decommissioning. And I think the last time you were here, you talked about conducting a feasibility study to help influence that, probably to help identify alternatives for the environmental impact report. So I was wondering if you could comment on that. But looking forward to more of these conversations and meetings, and also want to thank you for your leadership, even though one of the myths out there is who's responsible once Venico went bankrupt. And fortunately, under the lease conditions, prior owners such as ExxonMobil are responsible, and they have had to deal with a lot of the decommissioning so far for the offshore structures in state waters. And I know some of the work has also been transferred onto the state because of some additional wells that Venico drilled. But you've coordinated that. You've kept the oil industry accountable. And I know that's not always easy. So, thank you for sparing the taxpayers as much of the cost as possible. And very excited about the removal of the piers and looking forward to removal of the rest of the infrastructure. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. And thank you for the questions surrounding the feasibility study. So just a little bit of context, ExxonMobil was the prior operator of Platform Holly and the EOF and Piers 421. And they maintained some responsibility when Venico went into bankruptcy and could not fulfill their obligations under the lease for decommissioning purposes. We've been working very closely and in partnership with ExxonMobil. We do have a phase one agreement that governed our relationship for the plugging and abandonment of the wells at Piers 421 as well as Platform Holly. We're currently in negotiations for the phase two agreement that will govern decommissioning of Platform Holly. As part of our preparation for the EIR, Exxon is conducting a feasibility study that will help inform our work on the EIR. And I can turn it over to Seth to give any additional details on the timing of that.
Yeah, I mean, most of the feasibility study isn't just alternative laden, but it is actually like the physical, what it's going to take to remove this thing. So, I mean, in terms of assessing the engineering work that needs to be done and what the scale looks like. there will be, and I think Peter kind of highlighted this, there will be other studies to kind of help round out potential alternatives. And then obviously when we do the notice of preparation and the scoping, we'll be taking a significant amount of stakeholder feedback to determine kind of what potential alternatives need to be assessed. So there will be sort of the baseline standard set of alternatives that I think have to be addressed, and we will look and see what other ones are available. But as far as timing goes, we're still a few months out on finalizing sort of the feasibility study, and then we need to review it and vet it internally, and then sort of see how we want to figure that out as far as what the primary project objectives will be as part of the EIR. And I think that will be very helpful for everyone, because I think that will set the standard for what we're all discussing as far as sort of the notice of preparation as a primary project versus potential alternatives.
Our next speaker is Chris Goblet. I probably did not pronounce that right. I'm so sorry.
Close enough. Thank you very much. Nice to see everyone. Thank you for having the meeting. Thank you to the city. As founder of the Fishery Project here, I'd like to thank the commission first and foremost for issuing our recent lease that's going to allow us to deploy a very small amount of our primary technology called sea caves here in Goleta Bay, which through our initial projects in Baja, Mexico, have shown that in 7 months you can recruit giant kelp all the way to the surface. So it's an incredibly effective kelp restoration technology. And we don't necessarily have a position on whether or not the rig should be fully removed or partially removed. However, if the stakeholders and the government decide to partially remove it, it's feasible that adding sea caves around the base could help stimulate the reproductive capacity of some of the rockfish that live out there, especially the listed species like boccaccio and calcod and things like that. Because when you have vertical pilings, you tend to have a lot of small fish that kind of lack what you call interstitial space, which is like cave area. So when those small fish kind of leave the base of the platform, they need somewhere to basically hide and lay eggs and grow where they don't get gobbled up, essentially. So if that was something that came to pass, perhaps we could play a role in that in terms of stimulating the marine life. However, if the rig is fully removed, if that's a decision that society makes, it is difficult as a proponent of defending marine life to see that much marine life essentially killed, right? It is difficult to see, regardless of what our positions are on pro-oil or anti-oil, because you are literally talking about hundreds of millions of pounds of really thriving marine life and forage for marine mammals, and whether it's the mussels and the scallops and the 100-year-old lobsters that live down deep and the yellowtail that swim around. It's hard to see that affected. So if that does come to pass, what I think might be a good bridge between the two sides, between leaving it or extractive or fishing, would be to look at this experiment in Goleta Bay, which I'd like to underscore as a short-term scientific experiment. It's not a full reef installation. It's there just to monitor and provide those studies to the public for further consideration. But we know that it will work just like our projects in Mexico have worked. We're confident of that. And so you'd be able to gauge per sea cave unit how much life you can make. It's usually about 1 to 2 tons per year. And you could actually quantify how much life is killed in the extraction or the removal of this rig, and do a biological equivalency and perhaps take the area in Goleta Bay that's currently kind of robbed of its hard bottom that normally ends up there from the egress of rocks from the hills after 200-year storm events like we had in 2017. Those rocks don't make it out to the bay anymore because there's roads in the way, there's houses in the way, they get cracked and taken away and put in people's gardens. So there's no recharging of the reef system in Goleta Bay. That's why we don't have a kelp bed there. So what the Fish Reef Project is doing is making up for mankind's obstacles that they put in the way, right? So if you did remove the rigs and kill all that marine life, I would think that there'd be a happy medium where society could get together and say, hey, let's make a larger kelp restoration project in Goleta Bay that would yield similar life holding capacity to what's on the rig. It wouldn't be an exact read across because that's effectively sort of almost a blue water ecosystem, but it would provide breeding capacity for the very small sebaces, the very small rockfish, that start in very shallow. Then they typically jump out to about 45 feet of water, which is where our experimental reef site is. And then they grow to a few inches long, and then they make the jump to the deeper water complex. And right now, that whole strip in 45 to 65 feet of water, with everywhere except for Isla Vista and Henry's Beach, that whole area is lacking in that structure. So there's this gap between shallow and deeper water for the rockfish to be able to travel. So you would provide the opportunity for more small rockfish to be born in the estuarial regions and then go into our reef that we make, or our kelp restoration, and then grow and then go out into deeper water. So you would, in effect, sort of, in a way, be replacing what is being removed. So we provide options on either side of that, and then we really look forward to sharing our monitoring of the experiment with the commission and the public moving forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So those are the only formal public comment speaker slips I have. Is there anybody else that wants to come up and ask questions or make a comment?
My name is David Sangster, and I live in Elwood area, and I will be brief. It seems like there's a potential issue of that would be coming up soon, is the question of rigs to reefs. And my concern is the debris field under the platforms. And the way I would see it is, if there is material that can be used for a reef, a proper location for that material should be found, and all of the material moved there, and the original site left pristine as mandated by some of the conditions. And so you have to find a good location. You have to figure out exactly how to either clean or even just move some of the sea life to a well-chosen location. The you were down on the beach yesterday, and I guess it was Monday, the four bird roosts that were just offshore was placed right over the debris mound of the old four caissons that were way out there at the end of a pier at one time, and they were essentially toppled in place very close to one of the onshore pipelines. And I don't know whether that debris field under that platform was even assessed or cored or anything, but that should have been left pristine, and whatever pieces should have been moved. I agree that transportation is a lot more expensive than just toppling something over, and that's how it was done. So I would like to see something like that prevented if possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. Anyone else? All right. Well, we'll be here if you want to ask us questions after we formally end. And please also keep in touch with us through our website, through our listserv, because as Peter mentioned in his presentation, we will be kicking off the formal CEQA process as part of the Platform Holly decommissioning. And that's when it's going to be critically important for us to hear from you comments that we've heard tonight, but also additional comments on what you see in terms of alternatives, what you think we're missing from our analysis, what you want us to make sure we take into account, all of those things. And so we welcome all of that engagement and feedback as we move forward. So thank you so much for your time tonight. It's nice to see you all, and have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
Thank you. new.